Solace Church. So good to see you this morning. Listen, here's the deal. I'm a little bit sick today. I'm just going to just straight up front, I am not feeling great. My voice sounds a little weird, and so it may be gone before the service is over. And if that's the case, we'll just wing it. Is that fair? Is that all right? So I've got some Kleenexes on standby and a bottle of water. So if I just stop along the way, just kind of just take a mental break with me so I can navigate through that. So also, I don't know if I've said this to you guys, but I'm actually leaving tomorrow to go to Israel. We're getting a chance to go. Some pastors in the area are getting a chance to go with an organization that's over there called Teach Israel. And I'm looking forward to going, so be praying. I know things are a little dicey right now in the area as well. So just be praying for us as we go and get a chance to tour the Holy Land. So I'm looking forward to that. But if you're a guest today, we're in the middle of a series. Thank you for being here. We're in the middle of a series called Sweet Emotion. And we're talking about what life looks like in the cadence of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. This is some incredible truth. The Holy Spirit of God, that very power that raised Christ from the dead, when someone receives Christ, comes to live and dwell within the life of the believer, and the Holy Spirit empowers them to live differently. So we've been talking about the cadence of the flesh, that is, the pace of life lived out how the flesh wants to do things, and that's destruction always. But we've been talking about what it looks like to live in the cadence of the Spirit, that life-giving agent that produces a different pattern of living. So we're going to continue that conversation today as we talk about faithfulness. Now, I know that this is fall break, and so I know some of our families are gone, and we celebrate that. If you're watching online today at solacechurch.com, thank you for being a part of our online community. We know that many of our families are gone, and that's totally okay. So we want to just this morning, though, we want to just tune into this idea for a minute about what it looks like to do life in the Spirit in terms of faithfulness. Now, I don't know if anyone in the room is like me, but I find myself living in kind of this weird place. So when your team wins 55-0, you feel like it's the greatest thing ever. But when they lose 24-17 or whatever it was, you feel like giving up on them. I mean, if anyone in the room is like that and you understand the heartbreak of, you know, going through all that with your favorite team, then you can appreciate this whole idea of faithfulness. My wife and I, if you have kids, my wife and I were laughing about this. There are moments when, you know, you get off work and the thought crosses your mind, instead of turning right to go home, what if you just kept going straight, right? Just keep driving and don't stop. If you've ever had kids and thought that, then you understand the battle with faithfulness. So we're going to talk today about talk about what it looks like to really struggle with being faithful. Now, Paul talks about faithfulness in this passage of Scripture we've been studying for quite some time now. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, this is the last word of verse 23. Next week, we'll pick up the next fruit of the Spirit. But Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit. And let me just make one quick comment. I'm not sure I've talked about a whole lot yet thus far, but notice the word fruit here is singular. Certainly the Greek is singular as well. And what Paul is saying here is that the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, this singular deal, this singular piece, which is the fruit of the Spirit, is that these things are lived out, that the Spirit produces singularly this life change that's manifest in all these different ways. That's the point Paul is making here. And so Paul says that as we embrace more and more of the cadence of the Spirit, this is the manifestation of it. What is that manifestation? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. We've talked about all those in previous weeks. If you've missed any, you can always go online and watch our services at solacechurch.com. Today, let's talk about faithfulness. For those of you who like writing down definitions of words, just to kind of get us all on the same page, faithfulness is this. Faithfulness is the divine ability to honor and keep your commitments, my commitments. The divine ability to honor and keep our commitments. Now, church, as we get started this morning, let's just all embrace this reality that I'm not saying, and Scripture's not saying, that you have to be a Christian in order to be faithful. Certainly, people can keep their commitments whether they're a Christ follower or not. You can honor your word whether you are a Christian. What Paul is getting at here, remember, it's the fruit of the Spirit. What Paul's getting at is the cadence of the flesh cries out to abandon when things are difficult. But the cadence of the Spirit cries out for fidelity, loyalty, faithfulness, even when things are difficult. And that's the point Paul is making in the text. Now, Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, gives us this blanket statement about faithfulness, about stewardship. And he says that it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Now, Paul is specifically in 1 Corinthians 4 speaking of the gospel. There's no question about that. But this statement is an overarching statement that really speaks to the heart of Christianity, that when we're entrusted with something, when we make a commitment to something, that we must prove ourselves faithful. We should be faithful to carry it out. Now, you take Paul's comment that there's the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, and we're required as stewards to be found faithful, and compare that with what Solomon, one of the wisest men to ever live, says about our struggle. This is what he says in Proverbs chapter 20. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? The point Solomon recognizes is that a lot of people are gung-ho about making commitments. If you've ever said, God, if you, then I, then you know that this thing, you know, we'll commit, I promise, I'm going to come through because you're going to come through, right? We do commitments okay. It's just the follow-through that we struggle with. And that's why Solomon looks all over the world and says, is there anyone faithful? Is there anyone who can honor the commitments that they make? And so thinking about Solomon's statement about this struggle with finding a faithful man, a faithful person, I began to think about areas in our own lives that we struggle with being faithful. And so this morning I thought we would just talk very practically about areas that we struggle in being faithful. I'm calling them this morning the three battlegrounds for infidelity. Three battlegrounds for infidelity. And church, I'm just going to unpack for you for a couple of minutes what this looks like practically. Because what I've found as a pastor and just as a person on this journey with you, what I've discovered is that this issue of fidelity is a major, major issue. We find ourselves in a culture that abandons ship very quickly. You know, things aren't going right at our job, we'll just quit and go find another job. If things aren't going right at the church, we'll just quit and find another church. If things aren't going right, you know, in relationships, we'll just quit and find something else, right? And so let's talk about how we can be empowered by the Spirit in these areas that we struggle with. And the first battleground that I've found in my own life, and I certainly have observed as a pastor, is the spiritual infidelity. Spiritual infidelity. The truth is, if we were just take a survey of the room this morning, if we were just like gut level honest, what we would find is that there's some people sitting in the room right now, and quite honestly, you're just living in a state of rebellion against God. You at one point have been committed. You gave your life to Christ. You did the baptism thing. Maybe you even signed up for membership and went through that whole process. But if we were just to take inventory right now of your life, you are in just this state of running. You are running from God. You're running from the commitment you made to God. And the battleground here is that you find yourself in a place where either the expectations of what you thought should be is not happening, or you know someone hurt you along the way, or maybe the church hurt you, and you find yourself in a period of rebellion. If that's you, listen, here's my prayer for you. My prayer for you is that today, God, through the Holy Spirit, would draw you back into a close relationship with Him. That He, through the Spirit, would empower you to run not away from that relationship, but run into the arms of a God who deeply loves you. And so if you live in rebellion right now, if that's you, this is the battleground for you, and this is a moment of decision for you. You're going to continue to run and live in spiritual infidelity, or are you going to run into the arms of God? I would also say this morning, and this is almost like me getting on a soapbox. Is that okay if I do that for a moment? All right, I was going to anyway, but anyway, the issue that I see in church, as a pastor, it really troubles me. Not for like some egocentric reason, but because I'm watching this unfold, and I'm thinking about the future of the church. The average church attendance is once every 6 weeks. I've said that to you before. Once every 6 weeks, people. They're considered regular attenders once every 6 weeks. And I'm thinking, if that's now the new norm in church, and another decade or two from now, where will we be? And I just, I pray that we raise up a generation of believers that understand that commitment to the body of Christ, to community in the body of Christ, that that's a priority relationship, that that's not something of convenience, but that's something of priority. And if you find yourself in a place in your journey where, you know, you're like once every 6 weeks or whenever it kind of fits your schedule, man, my prayer is the Holy Spirit would really encourage you to begin to think about the importance, the priority importance of being connected to the body of Christ through the local church and all the other ways that you can be connected. I thought it might be fun this morning, just for a moment, if we took a moment to honor those within our church that have found themselves faithful over the years. And I don't think I've ever done this, certainly not in this building before, so I'm going to be make this a little bit awkward for a few of you, and you'll forgive me later. But what I thought we would do for a moment, let me just get a kind of pulse and feel for who's in the room. So do me a favor, if you've been at Solace Church 6 months or less, 6 months or less. Can I just see your hand for a moment? Would you just lift your hand up? Would you do that? I know it's awkward. It's weird to lift your hand up. But okay, so man, all right. So maybe 5-10% of you been with us 6 months or less. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being here for this short amount of time. I greatly appreciate your willingness to do that. How about a year, like 6 months to a year? You've been with us, like came with us, let's see, year, you guys, 3, 4, 5, okay, so, all right, about 5% or so, thank you. Okay, let's stretch it out just a little bit longer. Let's say, how about those who've been with us 5 years? If you've been with us, so that would be 2010, 5-year commitment, okay, 6, 7, 8, 9, good, okay, good, very good. All right, so let's stretch it out way, way, way long. I'm not even sure if anyone in the room fits this. Has anyone been with us 10 years? Or 10 years. Let me see your hand if you've been with us 10 years. Wow, that's not bad. Okay, that's more than I thought. All right, now it's going to get a little awkward. All right, here's what I want you to do. If you've been with us 10 years, our church is only 11 years old. So if you've been with us 10 years or more, can you just stand up for me? I know, we never do this in church, ever. Thank you. 10 years or more, very good. Stand up, thank you. I know. So we're going to get a picture of you. We're going to put you on camera for the first time. Smile. No, keep standing, please. Keep standing. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Thank you. There we go. Just kind of pan around the room for a minute. You can see them. All right. So let me give you just an insight about the people that you see standing up. All right. Hear me. You keep standing. It's okay. Just for a moment. So just think about this. These people have been with us in the very beginning of our church. We did not do ministry very well. I'm not saying we're great at it now. We're a lot better. But their pastor, man, they put up with some really bad messages, really bad. Plus, I had a little hick, you know, a little hick talk like this, you know, what I'm talking about. You guys remember that? And the bass guitar, I played the bass, yeah? Thank you. But no, on all seriousness, they went through several major changes. We took that building, when we first started, we changed it from a traditional-looking building to a modern-looking facility, black ceilings and all. That was a major change. They went through the process of our name change from Fellowship Church, which is what we were, to Solace Church, which is what we are now. They went through that change. By the way, here's how I said that. When we went through that name change, I said to the church, hey, this week we're Fellowship Church. When you come in next week, we're Solace Church. And they stayed. Can you believe that? They stayed. My mom was one of those people standing up. She had to stay. Thanks, Mom. And Dad, appreciate that. They went through the campaign. We asked people to sacrifice financially through giving. They stayed through that process. They didn't leave us during that time. And they stayed with us through the change from an old facility, which was normal and comfortable, into a new facility, which was weird and different and difficult. And they went through that whole process of staying with us. And so for those of you who we're standing, and some of you said, sit down already. You couldn't stand up. It's faithfulness, all right? All right, this is the week you could have stood. I'm totally teasing. All right, so here's what I want to do in all seriousness. I want to honor you guys for your faithfulness to Solace Church. Let's give them a hand clap for their time of faithfulness. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you for staying with us that long. It means a lot. You know, in a society, in a world, in businesses, you see this happen. Businesses honor employees who stay 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 years. And the reason why they honor them is because every business knows, and churches know this as well, the turnover is significant. It's high. Because long-term commitment and loyalty is difficult to come by. And so my prayer is this. Certainly with teenagers, young adults, my prayer is this, that we raise up a generation within the church that understands the importance of being faithful to honor God no matter what season of life we're in. Now, here's what we know. We know God is faithful even when we're faithless. There's certainly the truth. God is the God who is faithful. He's the model and the perfect example of never giving up even in difficult circumstances, right? But I pray that we raise up a generation. You know, we're seeing the church go through this period of time where, you know, we're launching them from high school into college, these students from our church, and then they're leaving. They're not coming back. And my prayer is that we change that model, that there's a cultural, societal change in terms of faithfulness. So spiritual infidelity, I've seen that plague the church. Maybe you're here in that situation even right now. Secondly, second battleground of infidelity is relational infidelity. Relational infidelity. I want to talk about two very clear pictures of the battleground this morning for just a minute or two. Because I think this is a significant issue. Reputation is on the line. Our word is on the line here. I've watched, in terms of relational infidelity, I've watched in the business sector this become a significant problem. And I just want to say this. If you're a business owner here, or you're in sales, or you're responsible for, you know, fulfilling commitments that your company makes, I want you to hear this from your pastor this morning. It's a big deal when you say these are the terms of the commitment for you to honor what the terms are. I think one of the cultural problems within the business sector today is that there's an overpromising and an under-delivering of that. I've seen it in the construction world and many other worlds as well. You oversell to get something, and then you under-deliver. And I would say to you that if you're in the business sector, a CEO, any kind of sales, anything like that, that if you commit yourself to something, that even if it costs you more than you thought it was going to cost you, that you honor your word in that process. Relational infidelity is plaguing the business sector, and I pray God raises up a generation of Christ followers who honor their commitments, even if it's expensive. I would also say that in terms of marriage relationships, I've seen this become a significant problem as well. We all know about the divorce rate, and I would say that those numbers probably, quite honestly, are skewed. By the way, church, just so you know this, some of the latest research is that inside the church, the divorce rate is much, much lower than what the rest of society thinks it is. That's some new research that's coming out, and I'm excited about that. But here's what I would say to you. I would say that in terms of marriage relationships, we're struggling with maintaining fidelity. We're struggling with staying committed. Now, I want to speak to the obvious picture of infidelity, but I want to give you something you may have never thought about that's also a picture of relational infidelity in terms of marriage. You know, the easy one to pick on is adultery or stepping outside the relationship in this way. And I just would say this, that if you're here this morning, and it's possible. There's some people here this morning that you're considering having an affair on your spouse right now. You may have already started the relationship that's inappropriate, that's outside of your marriage relationship. And I would say to you that if you're in that right now, in that season, and going through that, my prayer is that God would give you, through the Holy Spirit, the power to reconnect to your spouse. I want to encourage you not to consider abandoning the relationship that you've committed to, but rather to just let the Holy Spirit speak a different cadence into your life. Stepping out of the marriage relationship is not the answer. It never resolves the problems. It only complicates things for your relationship. And I would also say to you that that's the easy one to pick on. But I've been thinking about this a lot this week. There's another form of relational infidelity that's plaguing marriages as well. I would say to you that there's some people in the room right now, maybe you're watching online as well, there's some people who are listening to this message, and you're not going to walk out on your marriage relationship. You're wired, you're maybe it's a personality thing that you're saying, there's no way I would leave my marriage relationship. But it's possible that while you're committed to like staying married, you're still checked out on the relationship. You're not making an investment in the relationship to bring health. And so while you may be technically married, you're being unfaithful in your marriage to not honor the vows that you took. Do you know when you got married, and this happens in most marriages, in wedding ceremonies that I do, one of the things you commit to is to honor and sustain. That word sustain is the picture of sustenance. That is that you're bringing the sustenance, the life, the health that needs to come into that relationship. And so while some people check out of the relationship and go find a new relationship, and man, that's a broken picture, certainly. I would say to you that there's many more couples maybe in the room right now that there's a broken marriage that's your marriage. And the reason why it's broken is because you're not investing internally in the relationship. And so my prayer is that that's you. If you're still married and you would never leave your spouse, but you're not investing, my prayer is that God, through the Holy Spirit, would just spark something new in your heart, that he would turn your heart back to your spouse, that he would empower you to do what is not natural, what your flesh does not want to do, which is to start loving again and investing again in the health of your marriage relationship. I pray to God that our church, that we raise up a generation who's committed in spite of the difficulties that come with marriage, that you're committed to the relationship. And how many of you know this? I laughed about this just a minute ago. We laughed about this. But hear me. You know, when you start out in a marriage relationship and you do that whole marriage thing and there's the honeymoon and that's all great, man, it's easy to be committed. Right? And 2 years into the relationship, when things get a little more complicated and you realize this person's not nearly, you know, all together like I thought they were, and, you know, they're broken and so am I, and you begin to realize there's some dysfunction here and we got to work through some stuff, it's a little bit harder. And then you add kids to that equation, and then you add multiple kids to that equation, and what happens is along the way you just end up so far apart. My prayer is that in spite of all that, that man, God would draw you back together today. I think the third area of infidelity that I found that tends to plague in, even inside the church is material infidelity. So there's spiritual infidelity, there's relational infidelity, and then there's material infidelity. What am I talking about? I would say to you that there's some people in the room right now that you've been entrusted with material possessions like money or credit cards or a house or a car or some responsibility at work that deals with the physical realm. And the truth of the matter is, some of us struggle greatly with being a good steward of what we've been entrusted with in the material world. Some of us have credit cards, and it is our get-out-of-jail-free card, at least for a month. We use the credit card like crazy because for whatever reason, we don't have the margin or the money, you know, in our actual bank accounts to do anything about it. You know what's funny about a credit card? Look, it doesn't affect your bank account immediately. Right, so you swipe it, and your bank account still looks great, and you just keep swiping over here. You have to go online to check out the balance over there, right? Right, it's no big deal over there. But all the time, man, you're racking up this debt and this credit card debt, and you're mishandling what God has entrusted to you. And so, if you find yourself in that pattern, my prayer is that God would draw you back to good, sound, financial, biblical stewardship. The truth of the matter is, some of us have been entrusted with homes. And we're letting our homes fall apart. We're letting our cars fall apart. We're letting our material possessions go by the wayside. Hear me. It matters how you steward what's been entrusted to you. There's a great story. It's the parable of the talents in Scripture. And many of you know this story. But the parable of the talents basically goes like this. Jesus tells this story that this owner of many, many possessions hands out certain talents. One individual receives five, one individual receives two, and another one, one. The owner goes away for a while and comes back, and the owner asks them to give an account of how they've handled things. The one with five made a great investment, was a great steward. He returned his investment with five more, with a total of 10, and the owner said, well done, what? Good and faithful servant, you've been entrusted with this much, now I can entrust you with much more. The same story happened with the one who had two. He had two, he doubled that to four. Same story, well done, good and faithful servant, now I can give you more. And then the one with one was a poor steward. He went and buried it. And the owner said, you should at least invest it in the bank and draw some interest. That illustration doesn't really apply today. Like interest rates at the bank, like 0.00035%, right? Nothing on that return. But the point is, at least you could have done something to have a return on this investment. So what happens to him? The one that he has is taken, it's given to those who are faithful. Material stewardship matters. How you handle what's been entrusted to you matters. And so I thought about these pieces. You have the spiritual infidelity, relational infidelity, and then material infidelity. And I just thought about the fact that this is a real major issue in the church. And I thought about, you know, we all at some point struggle with this. I was thinking about my kid, Grady. I use Grady a lot as an illustration. I need to be careful with that. Grady is an incredible young man. He's 7 years old, and he is such a huge blessing to our family, and I mean that sincerely. He has unique talents and gifts, a unique way of thinking, and part of that is great, and part of that is a challenge for him. I had a conversation with Grady just a couple of days ago about personality styles. I don't know if 7 years of age is the time to have the talk about personalities. I'm not sure he got it all, but he needed the conversation. Because Grady is wired with a kind of like perfect personality type. And there's all kinds of personality tests that you can take. But you know, there's a popular personality type that's bubbly and builds new relationships, the charismatic, life at the party kind of person. Then there's the peaceful kind of person that's kind of easygoing, avoid conflict. You know, they're really, really tender and soft. And then there's the powerful personality type that's just domineering. They need that hill to climb and conquer, and they'll run over whoever to get, you know, to get to conquer the challenge. And then there's the perfect personality type, that, you know, that OCD kind of person who everything has to be exactly right, and you know, everything has to be exactly in order. Well, Grady is perfect and powerful. And I explained to him that one of the great things about that is, you know, that you're gonna get things done right, it's gonna be done well. But there's a downside of that as well. The reason why I had to explain that to Grady is because of what happened just previous to me sitting down on his bed and having this conversation. I was a stay-at-home dad just a couple of days ago when I had this conversation, and Georgia wasn't feeling well. She was sick, so she was really clingy. And Grady and Graham were at the house. Jennifer was at work. And I was like, I was about to lose my mind because they were all like at me. And I just said, all right, here's the deal. You guys are going to go play a game. Here's the game. Graham, I want you to go downstairs and hide. Let's use a Nerf gun too. So here's a Nerf gun with Nerf darts, and here's what we're going to do. You go down and hide, and if Grady finds you, he's going to shoot you with the Nerf gun or the dart. I thought about that, like, boys playing games, gotta have guns always with that. I don't know why that's the case, but so this is the game I made up. and so they started playing this game, and Graham went downstairs and he hid, and Grady had the Nerf gun. Graham had a mask on, you know, to cover his face so he wouldn't get shot in the eye. Shoot your eye out, man. And so Graham was downstairs playing, and so Grady fouled him, but he didn't shoot him. He couldn't shoot him, and Graham made it all the way upstairs, and he was safe at the base. And so it was Grady's turn to go hide, and Grady went downstairs, and he went and hid somewhere in the house. And I had made my way downstairs at this time, and Graham had the Nerf gun. Grady had the mask on. Grady had a shield as well. He cheated. He had some extra protection. And so Graham had the gun, and he shot at Grady a couple times. It was a Nerf gun, and he had one more bullet, and he shot Grady and hit him in the leg. Now, he's the popular, peaceful kind of kid. Like, just the fact that they were playing games was the greatest thing ever. Best day ever for Graham, right? And so he's all excited, you know, woohoo, woo-hoo, you know, he's excited about shooting Grady. Grady takes his mask off, rips it off, throws it on the ground, and said, I'm done. I'm like, man, you know, it's just the second round of the game. He went down, you didn't get him, you went down, but he's going back down, you can get him. He's done. Quit on that moment. And I said, go sit on your bed. And that's when I went and had the talk with him. And I said, son, listen to me. You can't give up just because one round of the game didn't go well for you. There's more rounds to come. So I said, listen, Grady, you're wired in this, you know, this perfect personality type. Listen, this person wants to do right every single time, and they want to win every single time, and they can't miss any part of their assignment at all. They're wired that way. And here's what Grady said. He said, I want to be that. And I said, no, you are that. No, you don't. You are that person. You're this way. But you can't quit just because one piece didn't go well. And I thought, that is so us. One round doesn't go well, and we're ready to check out. One part doesn't go well, so we're just ready to leave. And God, through his Holy Spirit, in those moments when we're just, you know, we're done, we're ready to just, you know, just check it in, God, through the Holy Spirit, comes alongside of us and says, hey, this is not the time to quit. This is the time to lean into the strength that comes from the Spirit so that you can stand up and honor the commitments even when the flesh is crying out to abandon. And here's what I know. There's some people in the room right now. And you walked in the room today, and maybe yours was the spiritual issue. Maybe you have been running. Maybe you have just wanted to check out. Maybe you're the one in the room today who needed to be here today because you're the one in that marriage relationship and you're about ready to leave. Or you're the one that's not been investing. It's possible that there's someone in the room right now and you're that individual that you're just not handling those material possessions God has entrusted to you well. And my prayer is this. My prayer today would be that you would have the courage, swallow your pride and your ego, and allow the Spirit to do the work that the Spirit does within us, to enable us to continue to honor what we committed to. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?
Hey, this is Pastor Matt Blair. Thank you so much for taking time to check out our podcast today at solidchurch.com. You know, we realize that it's possible, as you listen to this message today, that God may have spoken to your heart about something. So if you made any kind of spiritual decision, we would love to know about that. You can email us at info@solidchurch.com and let us know what happened in your life today. Once again, thank you so much for taking time to check out this podcast.